I really have a lot to share with you today, and I hope I don't take too much of your time, but if I do, it's for a reason. And God comes first. Isn't it great to come to church on Sunday and give Him your first fruits of the day and just worship Him and honor Him? That's what we're called to do. And I got a phone call from Pastor. He's on vacation. As you can see, the half the church is empty because the chief is not here. And he's on vacation, and he told me he's missing you guys. He said, I woke up this morning, and what am I going to do? I'm not going to church, and that's how much he loves us. And he loves Christ, and he loves his body of here in Bethesda, and he sends his love. And he prays. He's praying for all of us, and he prayed with me, which I really, really, really am so grateful that every time I'm preaching, he calls me first and prays with me. And it really helps me because I get pretty nervous, you know. I get real nervous. You might not notice, but I do get nervous. So let's get to it. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful, Lord God, to be in your house today, to hear what you have for all of us, Lord God, starting with me first, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that your word is always true. Your word is always on time. And your word is always there to help us, Lord God, so that we can mature, Lord God, and be the people you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. What an opening prayer by Sister Nancy. It's like she was taking a page out of what I'm sharing with today. All right? We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares on Jesus. That's the title of the message. Now, have any of you ever had any issues that cause you to be nervous, fearful, rebellious, and absolutely just out of disarray? Anybody ever have anything like that happen to them? Oh, my gosh, you're in the same boat. I've had 2.5 months of that, where it's at work. I can't get into specifics, but just absolutely driving me nuts, really. Every day I would come home, and Nancy would hear the same thing over and over again, and I would, like, it was just overcoming me. And it was like so many things were happening. Basically, to say this, when you're right now, when you do something that's right, you're wrong. All right? They want you to lie. They want you to do everything opposite. You notice that in the world today?
Yeah.
It's, when you're right, you're the bad person.
Mm-hmm.
When you say something that's truthful, you're the troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And, you know, they called a lot of the prophets troublemakers because they spoke the word of God. All right, and so when you're trying to do the right thing, you're the bad guy. And when you're trying to do your best, you're wrong. And I was going through that for 2.5 months, and it was like wearing me out. And sometimes I just didn't know how to deal with it. I was struggling at night. I was struggling at work, trying to keep my composure, trying to keep my character, trying to keep what God has called me to be. And you know, sometimes you don't do so well. I'm going to be the first one to tell you. Just because, this is awfully loud, I'm getting feedback. Just because you're a so-called pastor, all right? And one of the people approached me and says, you're a preacher, right? So no, I'm a pastor. And they go, well, you know, people have families. And I knew exactly where they were going because they started off with, you know, my faith first. I knew where they were going. I knew what was going to be happening next. So I said, so you're saying that I don't have a family? Is that what you mean by that? Because everybody else's family is important except yours. All right? So it was a situation where everything was like the enemy was attacking me and all different things, questioning my character, questioning my integrity. I have a problem when you question my integrity. And because I try to do what's right before the Lord, even when I'm wrong. I'll say that I'm wrong. And this was going on for a long period of time. And then one Sunday, I was not here because I was working, and Pastor's message dealt with what I was doing, was going on in my life so specifically that the following Monday, men's group followed up on it, and I had my answer. And that answer brought me to peace, and it brought me to walk in the midst of everything going on around me in peace and in joy. And Nancy talked about joy, you know, and doing it with joy, you know, and that's how you can do it. It wasn't on my own. And once I got there, I was like, bring it on. because it's not mine, it's his. And that's what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about casting all your cares on him. This is what the scripture says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now on the NLT, it says, I like this. It says, it gives all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. And that's something special. Think about it. He cares for you individually. All right? He cares specifically for you. Matthew 11 says, in verses 28 to 30, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. All right? I want to give you three examples. I'm going to share three different people in the Bible that situations caused them to do different things. First, one was anxious, the other one was rebellious, and one was fearful. All right? And what God does in these situations, how he turns things around when we cast everything on him and give him our burdens. Because, you know, when we keep that stuff inside, it can cause many things to happen in your life. It can cause sickness, mental instability, all kinds of things going on with people around you, disruptions, all kinds of things happen when you start to carry things that you're not meant to carry. You know, when he says that he cares for you all the time. Not just once in a while, all the time. Don't be afraid to shout out and say, I can't do it. That's the first thing when you start saying, that's what I did. I said, Lord, I can't handle this. I don't know what's going on here. I'm doing what's right, and still things are turning out wrong. Things are not going the way they should be. And as soon as I said, I can't do this, he took over. And once I said, I can't, all right, he can. Mark 4:19. This is what happens to us. The worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, make it unfruitful. When situations like that happen, this is talking about the sower, the seed, all right? Outside influence start to choke what the joy that God brought. Start to take that away from you. You forget it. And you forget what God has called you to be. And you forget what he has for you. You forget that it is finished. All right? And you forget that God will do it for you. He'll stand in your place. The first example is an example that everybody knows. All right? It's an example of Peter. Jesus is across the water. They're in a boat. And Jesus calls out and he goes, I'm coming to you. And he starts walking on the water. Remember that? All right? He's walking on the water. Peter sees him and says, calls him out. And Peter comes out and walks on the water. And Peter's doing great. I don't know if he's seen, oh, look at the fishes. And then he started sinking. I don't know what happened there. But the anxiety, he looked and see what he was doing. And he started to sink. And then Jesus grabbed him and pulled him up. And he said some very incredible things. In Matthew 14:22-31, you'll see that story about Jesus, Peter walking on the water. And Jesus said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why? Think about that. You know, that's what happens to us. We start to doubt. We start to wonder, is it true? Can he help me? Will he be there for me? And that little bit of doubt causes us to sink and fail. All right? And it causes us to do things that we normally wouldn't do because we don't have what it takes sometimes to trust God. And we're not releasing it to the Lord so that he can take care of it. But sometimes we're afraid. You know, like men, especially Hispanic men, we got the answer. I have the answer to everything, you know. I can do this. I can do this on my own. And men tend to do that. Pride gets in the way, right? Right, men? Is it true? Does pride get in the way? Right? Let's be honest. Right? Gets in the way. All right? I can do this on my own. I have the answer. I don't need any help. All right? You're lost. No, I'm not. I know where I'm at. And then an hour later, I'm lost. All right? And, all right? So that's how we are. All right? That's just the way it is, you know? And someone said something to me last week that I really love. I kept going through my head. It is what it is, all right? And remember that, Tom? It is what it is, all right? And that's how we are. And we just have trouble coming to terms that we need help. So Peter, whatever was going on in his head, starts to sink, all right? Anxiety, whatever was going on in his head, he starts to sink, and he cries out. And God says, I'm right here with you. I'm right here. And you know, sometimes we do that, don't we? God is right next to us. And he says, you know, be strong, be courageous, all right? I'm right here with you. I'm standing with you. I'm walking with you. And the times where you cannot walk, I'm carrying you, all right? Footprints in the sand. I love that, you know? I'm carrying you. That's what he does for us. But then we let the world surround us and all the things that are going on around us, we let that control us. And then we can't do what we're supposed to do. And you're going to see that later on. The cares of the world, our lives, sometimes causes us to keep our eyes off Jesus and on the circumstances. All right? Our eyes are not focused on him. When we're focused on him, we're doing what God wants us to do. Does that mean everything goes perfectly? I don't think so. It means that you can do it because he's with you by your side. It means that even though it might be tough, he's giving you the strength and the courage to do what you need to do, or you need to, or what you need to say sometimes. Sometimes you got to speak the truth to someone, all right? And sometimes it's not easy. I know for me, sometimes it's hard to hear someone tell you right on the money. They hit the spot. They went right for the heart. And they didn't waste time going around the edges. They went right for the heart. Sometimes that's hard to hear that, right? And the Spirit of God does that. You know, God doesn't play games, all right? He knows exactly what we need, where we're at, and where we're going. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians, verse 13, 10, verse 13 of chapter 10. 1 Corinthians. Do we have that one? I think I gave Vince a list of scriptures, but they're not in order. Because it depends on how the Lord takes me. You know, sometimes it won't be in order. But that's okay. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I think Sister Nancy shared a little bit about that this morning, all right? And that's exactly what he does. There's nothing, all right, that he can't put you through and help you through. There's nothing, all right? There's no temptation big enough that he cannot handle it, all right? God knows what we're going through. God knows where we're weak and where we're strong, all right? And he's there to help us. Remember that as we walk through these trials that we're having. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 35. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. All right? You know, sometimes God speaks to us. I don't know if anybody ever hears God's voice. And Pastor Tony was just sharing that God was sharing so much things with him while he was sleeping that he couldn't go back to sleep. You know, and God does that sometimes. He wakes you up and he's sharing something specifically with you, or he's sharing a scripture with you, or maybe it's a person that he wants you to pray for, you know, or pray with, or a person that you need to get a hold of. But, you know, he does this because he loves us. You know, the first scripture said, because he cares for us. That's why he does this. That's why when we're in this situation, and God gives us scripture, sometimes they can be tough. He does it because he loves you. He loves you and he wants you to succeed. His desires are for you to do well. And not to fail, but to do well. And to always point everyone else to him. All right? When God blesses you and God takes you and puts you in a high place. Everybody ever been in a high place where God is doing everything awesomely? And you're just like riding on cloud nine. And it's like nothing bothering you because you're up there. But then you come down to earth, right? You come down to reality and you have to walk in a valley, all right? And you got to go through deserts and storms, all right? And it's at those times you realize who is in control, all right? And you realize that sometimes life is not always the highs. It's a lot of times life is down here, all right? Life throws curves at you all the time, all right? Every day something new comes up. When you think you have something conquered, something else comes to you. When you think that you're walking in strength here, something comes here that causes you to stumble, all right? And it can be anything. It can be your husband. It can be your wife. It can be your children. It can be your family. It can be situations around you. It can be your workplace, like it was for me. The second example is another one that you're very familiar with. And it's, he's called, sometimes called, the reluctant prophet. That's what he's called. Anybody know who that is? Anybody? Jonah, exactly. So we're looking at Jonah, and he's refusing. You'll find this in the book of Jonah, and we have, it's in Jonah 1, and also in Jonah 4, verses 1 through 11. Jonah refuses to go to Nineveh, and he wants nothing to do with the people of Nineveh. All right, but God still calls him to do that, even though he didn't want to. God says, this is what I want you to do. Anybody ever have that happen to them? Wants you to do something, he says, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go say I'm sorry to that person. No way. No way. I'm not doing it. I'm not bowing down. Nope. I'm not bending. I'm not giving up. I'm standing my ground. And I said, no. That's what God wants you to do. And he kind of keeps going at you. And then you know what? You go in all these different directions, and then you end up going to the first thing he asked you to do in the first place, which would have been much easier, right? Save you a lot of heartache, all right? Brought you a lot more peace, and you went all these other directions to get to the place where he wanted you to go. So you all know the story. Jonah gets swallowed up by the whale. He prays. And then God still says, I still want you to go to Nineveh. All right? I find that so interesting because, you know, here's a guy that's serving the Lord, right? He's preaching the word of God. He's called to do exactly that. And when he's told to do it, he refuses. And I said, I wonder why. What was the problem here? Well, you see, the people of Nineveh were Assyrians. And it was over 120,000. Nineveh was a large, large city. Over 120,000. And God said, you know, I want you to go there and tell them that I see their sin and they need to repent. And I want you to do that until they do. I'm giving them a chance, you know, the people. But God, they're my enemy. They're the enemy of the Jews. Do you know what they did to us? You know, do you realize what they just did and what they're continue doing? You know what a pain they are to us Jews? You know, this is what he's probably saying to God. And God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. All right. And ever happened to you? God's called you to go somewhere. And you said, God, do you know that person? You know what that person did to me? You know what they've done to somebody else, to my loved one? And God has called you to that person. You know how difficult that can be? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I had an opportunity to do something in my younger years that was very difficult for me. My sister was murdered, and I was asked to go to Florida, where she lived, to go see the person that did it. And I couldn't do it. I said, I can't do this. I mean, my sister was my idol. I couldn't do it. My father went, and my father forgave him and prayed with him. I couldn't do it at the time. At that time, I couldn't do it. And, you know, God asked me to do that. It was an opportunity for me to, some of the things that are going on in your body and in your spirit, when you lose someone you love, you know, it's very difficult. And because I was not able to do that, it took a long time for me to be at peace because I never did that. And God called me to do that, you know. An opportunity was there. But then later on, God showed me through his mercy and his grace, all right, his love for all of us. And that's what he was showing the people of Nineveh. His love for all people, no matter who they are, our enemies, you know, and this is really hard for me to accept, because there's some people in this world that I do not like, you know. the things that they do, you know, and the things that they do, the Christian people, and the things that they do, and some of the people in our own country, the way they talk about God and want to throw God out and leave him out of, it does not make me happy. I get angry when I hear that, and it really upsets me. But God has called us to love those people. And he said, I came for them too. You know, I'm offering them the same thing I offered you. You know, they're sinners, you're a sinner. I'm offering the same thing. So Jonah was not happy about this at all. And if you look at Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, do we have that? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. We got to go to chapter 4. Now you have to understand that Jonah was not just reluctant. He was downright upset that he had to do this. He wanted no part of it. Absolutely no part. So he finally commits himself to doing this. He finally commits himself. I'm going to go. And he goes and he stands up in front of everyone. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. Next verse. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. By the way, Tarshish, you know where that is? It's Spain. He ran away to Spain, all right? And interesting, you know, I'm looking this up. I said, wow, Spain, that's a pretty nice place, you know? He took off, and the ship was ready for him. It was a port, so there was a ship there. And it was just like convenience. You ever know when you're running from God, something always seems to be there waiting for you, and it seems like it's convenient. Oh, this must be of God. Right. You know, this is what we think. Oh, this must be of the Lord, because this person has this for me, and this person has this. It has it all the time. When you're sinning, yep, the enemy puts a replacement there, mm-hmm, that seems like it's the Lord, but it's not. Right. All right? Right? And so he went to Spain. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Listen, look at his words. He said, I knew that you were a compassionate God, a compassionate God to every people, not just us. So, you know, he didn't like that at all. When God did exactly what he said. If they repent, because they were sinning, and God sees it, all right? He's seen everything that was going on. They were sinning and worshiping idols and doing all kinds of crazy things. And God said, unless they repent, I will destroy the whole city. And when God says something, he means it, all right? So Jonah knew that, you know. And so he was hoping that, you know, I'm just going to take off. I'm not going to do this. And then God can destroy the Assyrians. I don't care about the Assyrians anyways. Let them die. But they repented. And you know, it's interesting that sinners, when they know what they're doing and God reaches their heart, they're the first ones to say, okay, I'm accepting you, Lord God. They're the first ones to do it. And we're the ones that are so-called Christians that have the most trouble with it, you know. We take the longest. They seem to get it right away. They got it, all right? They repented, all right? And they were saved. The whole city was saved. Didn't make Jonah happy at all. Why did he refuse to go? He didn't like them. He wanted them dead, really. Think about it. He wanted to destroy them, Lord. They deserve it, you know. We all deserve, you know what? We all deserve the worst for what we did. But God said, no, I have compassion on you, and I have compassion on them. They're my people as well as you. All right? And you know, when we think about those things, you start to change your attitude about a lot of things. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone. Oh my gosh. I started reading that. I said, oh man, I mean, are you saying that even the jihadists, even the Muslims that are attacking Christians and killing, you want them to come to repentance? Yes. Even the people that are murdering people here in this country, even our politicians that are passing laws that are 100% against God, even them? Yes. And those are the ones I have trouble with. All right, even them. So my mindset is changing where now I'm praying for those people and asking for deliverance. And only one person can do that. That person is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. That's his job, not mine. Jonah didn't want the graciousness of God extended to the inhabitants of Nineveh because it was the main city of the Assyrians. Assyria today, where Nineveh was, is actually Mosul, Iraq. That's where their approximate location is. The religions now include Islam, Sunni, radical jihadism, terror, bloodshed, and violence. That's what that area represents to this day. All right? And did you know that the fastest growing population that are coming to the Lord are Muslims? Did you know that? Did you know that they're coming to the Lord, the truth? Did you know that they're seeing the truth about Jesus Christ and they're repenting and becoming Christians in the midst of everything around them, and which means death penalty to them, by the way, when they become a Christian? Their families, your father, if you are a daughter and you become, they kill you. Their job is to kill. Their father does. All right? Think about that. All right? They're doing it in the midst of being killed immediately because they're Christians. All right? And they're the fastest growing. And what are we doing here? We're complacent. We compromise. We say, it's okay. If it feels good, it's okay. You know, it's okay. God loves everyone. All right? Let's forget. God does love everyone. But let's not forget about what the Word says in between, all right, that we need to lead lives that are righteous, all right, do what's right before God's eyes, all right? And God's eyes are not the same as man's eyes, all right? And there's a difference. And people seem to forget that. They forget what God has for us. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, He wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, all right? Just all peoples. And it really got to me because I started to understand that even though you're in situations where you're being attacked, your character is being attacked, your integrity is being attacked, God is still there. And God wants you to pray for those people. And He wants you to extend to them what He extended to you. Even though you're in the midst of that situation and that battle and that trial. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to extend the love that God gave us to other people. So even when they're making wrong, you know what? When God takes over things, He does things so magnificently, so perfectly, and so timely that it's mind-boggling. You don't understand it. You can't grasp it. How did you do that? You know, and I'm starting to see changes happen. Because God has taken over. I'm starting to see people are starting to see the truth. And I'm saying, whoa, that's not the way it was. This is actually how it is. Which was I said in the first place. But they're starting to see that because what God is doing. Because my hands are off. I'm not trying to do it. I'm not trying to control it. God is saying, I'm taking care of this. And I'm going to walk where you want me to walk. And if it means going through fire, I'm going to have to go through fire. But when I come out, I'm going to be a better person for it. And that's what we want to do. Be a better person. Learn and grow. Mature in the Word. And learn what God has for us. Okay. Are you guys still with me? Are you getting any of this? All right. Thank you. The third person is one of my favorite, Elijah. I love Elijah. I love him because he was great, and they call him a troublemaker, by the way, the troubler. That's what they call him. And I used to call my mother-in-law that, a troublemaker. And because she was so good, I had to give her a name. You know? But in Elijah, 1 Kings 18 and 1 Kings 19, verses 3-9, I'm just going to paraphrase it and bring it together so that you guys get a picture. Elijah was a prophet of God. He was often called the troubler, all right? He was always causing trouble because when he spoke the word of God, everybody thought, you're a troublemaker. You're trying to disrupt what we're doing, what the kings were doing here. In the time of Ahab and Jezebel. Anybody know who those two are? Well, there are a couple characters, all right? Now, he's called to do something, all right, that's pretty, I love this. When he was called on Mount Carmel, And he was going against 450 prophets of Baal. All right? One against 450. Because they had killed almost all the prophets in Israel, except for the 100 that were hidden in the caves. They hid about 100 prophets in the cave, and he thought he was the only one left. And he was going against 450, and we had this little competition. I love this. I love competition, you know. And he says, we're going to build a pit, and we're gonna see who can light that pit with fire. And so the prophets of Baal tried it first. This is paraphrasing now. You can read this in 1 18 Kings, but I think you'll get the picture. They did everything they could to light that pit, and didn't light. They bounced around, jumped up and down, cut themselves, screamed, yelled, act like maniacs. Nothing happened. So this is the way I look at it. I think Elijah was sitting back there just enjoying himself, really. I think he was having a little chuckle. He goes, go ahead, keep doing it. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, what are you going to do next? That didn't work. What are you going to do next? That didn't work. All right, so he goes, okay. He added a little flair to it. I think it was like maybe a little bit of Hollywood in him. Fill that up with water. Fill it up with water. Overflowing with water. Keep going, you know. And he said, okay. Then he called on God and struck and lit that. All right. Now, you would think Elijah would be in a great situation here. He just defeated 450 prophets, right? One against 450. What are the odds? All right. But it was God that was there, all right? And they ended up killing the 450 prophets, all right? But here's the interesting thing. Right after that, Jezebel says, oh, I'm going to get you. I'm coming after you. Anybody ever have anybody say that to you? I'm coming after you. I'm going after you. Right, you're in my target zone. Right, I'm gonna do to you like nobody has ever done to you. The things that I'm gonna do to you. And you know what he did? He was in a mountaintop experience, wasn't he? All right. And what did he do? He fled. With his tail behind them, he fled and hid because of fear. Doesn't fear do that to us? All right. We're fearful about what people say, what people are doing, what they're gonna say or do to us. And we're especially afraid of words. Have you noticed that? When people speak sometimes words against us, it kind of like makes us feel fearful. That's not how God made us, you know. And sometimes we tend to flee. We flee away from a point where God has done something unbelievable with us. And we start to run and hide and say, woe is me, they're going to kill me, forgetting who our God is. All right, we forget that, and so easily we do it all the time. It's like I was just on top of the mountain. I just defeated 450 prophets of Baal with God beside me, and then she said, makes a threat, and I'm gone. I flee. We used to say we booked. All right, yeah. And you know we booked when we seen the trouble coming. We booked. All right, that's what we used to say when I was a kid. I know the young people don't say that anymore, but. That's what we used to say. Many people heard that word before, right? And that's what he did. He left. He booked. All right? And that's what we do. Fear overcomes us. And it causes us to lose focus on our God. On the Lord who died on the cross for you, who said, you know, it's finished. I've done everything for you. All you need to do is walk. I've done it for you. We run. We run and hide. I think God knew where he was. He fed him, all right, with a raven. Use a bird, a raven. I mean, you know, think about this. You know, we run and hide and not realizing God sees where you're at. He sees you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows every situation. He knows what's going to happen next, all right? And we're trying to hide from him. I mean, sometimes I look at it and I go, what am I doing? He knows where I'm at. He knows what I'm doing. What am I doing? You know, he knows everything. He has my well-being as number one. He doesn't want me to be hurt. He wants to help me. He wants to use me. Now, look what happens here. It's interesting because Elijah, when he was given this task from God, three things happened that were very critical to that time period. And if he wouldn't have done what God has asked him, those things might have not happened. Because this is, God has specific things in place to do what he needed to get done. These three actions would turn Israel away from the evil idol worship and facilitate the total destruction of the wicked line of Ahab and Jezebel. All right? The first one, he was going to anoint Hazael as king of Syria. And his name means God sees. So God's seen what was happening in Israel at the time and Judah. The sin, the turning away from God, the worship of idols. God sees it. He used a king whose name was God sees. All right? And he conquered those areas. All right? And now they're under his control. And then the second thing that happens, he anoints Jehu as king of Israel. And Jehu listened to God. And he started turning things around. He started breaking down the altars. He started doing the things that God has called all the people of Israel to do. And he implemented those things. And the last thing he did was anoint Elisha as a prophet to take his place. So it was ongoing. Those three things made a big difference. That line of idol worshippers was forever gone because of those three things. Elijah doing what he should do. When we're surrounded by all our cares, we need to cast them. Like when you're fishing, I'm not a fisherman because I can't stand still. I was scared of fish, all right? And you cast out there. I can cast. I know what that is. I can cast. You throw it out there. You just throw it, cast it out there. That's what you do. You're just saying, Lord, here, just take this. Take this care. Take this worry. Take this problem that I'm having. Take these issues that I'm having. All right? I need you to take a hold of them. And he just answers, I'll do it. My yoke is light. I can take this. All right? We can't. Our shoulders are not big enough. And we allow those things to overcome us. As well as that, we become anxious, we become fearful, we become rebellious, as you've seen in the examples. But God takes the situation and he turns it completely around. 360 degrees is turned around, the situation turns around. When we're able to understand that he's there for us and he cares for us, that his first thing is to love on us, to love us, we realize how strong we really are in him. And how much we can do with him. Sometimes we don't think we have the strength, the knowledge, the fortitude, whatever. We said, oh, I can't do that. I just can't do that. You know, like Jonah, I can't do that because they're my enemies. We don't think we have what it's in us. Yes, you do. He's put that in you. He wouldn't ask you to do it if couldn't do it. You know, you ever notice that? He always asks you to do something that is a step further than you thought that you can go. All right? It's like, I don't know if I can do that, Lord. He says, but this is what I want you to do. It's further than when you can go. He's building you up. He's teaching you. He's forming you, molding you into the person he wants you to be. Because he sees greatness in all of us. He sees it all. This last scripture, Philippians 4, verse 4. Verses 6 and 7. And in the NLT, it says it so beautifully because it says simply put, I like simple, I like practical. I like things to be, you know, just tell me what you want. Don't beat around the bush. Just go to the point. I love that, you know. I love people that are to the point. I love tough people, people that they seem to be really, you know, I'm not doing that and I'm against God. I love those people. I love the challenge of just being able to meet them where they're at and then watch God break the wall down and then the Holy Spirit does what it's supposed to do and you're sitting there and go, whoa. You know, it's like, that was awesome. I love that. I love just simple. And because I'm that way. Some people say, maybe you're too simple, but it's okay. They think I'm crazy. Yeah. Some people think I'm nuts, you know, I'm crazy. Why do you believe that? And how can you believe in a God that with all this stuff going on earth? I said, that's not his fault, that's our fault. You know, we're the ones that are doing it. He's not. Everything he says is contrary to what we say, you know. And so I use that as an opportunity to share the word of God and the truth of God. But listen to what Philippians says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Then you experience God's peace. This is what this really message is about, God's peace. All right. In the midst of all the cares of the world, we need God's peace. We need His tranquility. We need His paz, in Spanish, peace. You need to be at a point where even as you go through these things, you're able to immediately say, that's not mine, cast it. Okay, God, it's yours, cast it. All right, cast it. Cast it. Give it to God. And He's waiting for you to do that. And you know, we come to a place in our lives where all God wants us to say is, I can't do this. He wants to come to the end of ourselves and realize that we can't. We don't have the strength. We don't have whatever it takes sometimes to remedy a situation, but He does. And then He uses us in those situations to proclaim His kingdom and His love for all people. All right? That's what this is about. His peace, His endurance, His strength in the midst of all these trials. And when you're able to do that, I'm telling you, God does immensely things that you never, ever expected happen. He takes you out of situations. It's like He grabs you and just like lifts you up and takes you and puts you somewhere else in a place of peace. Instead of that place where you're crying and you're angry, He puts you in a place of peace and He surrounds you with His arms and holds you. I got this, He says. I got it. I said, I got it. And I know there's a lot of people going through situations like that. I've spoken to a lot of people, and it's like, it was a long time, that 2.5 months that I was going through this, and it was like, I talked to other people that are going through the same things, and I asked them, what's the problem? They said, well, I told the truth. Oh, man, the truth got you in trouble. And I usually, when you tell the truth, people say, wow, well done, right? Not anymore. When you tell the truth, they said, you're fired. I just heard of a guy at a place where my sister works, where he's in charge of sales for the company, and they asked him a question, and he told them the truth, they fired him. Because, no, we can't do that because the government has a contract, and we're not able to do that. They control everything on this side. And when he told them the truth, they fired him. He said, wait a minute, isn't that what you're supposed to do? Right? You see how things are changing now? But you know what? Don't give up. I want to encourage you, don't give up. All right? Continue to do what is right before God's eye. I don't care what man says. I don't care what he does. All right? What God says and what God wants of us is the most important thing. All right? He wants us to always walk the best we can. We're going to fail sometimes. We're going to sink like Peter did. All right? We're going to be in mountaintop experience. I mean, when we used to take the youth to all these conferences, I remember that they were on fire for God. I mean, they were hot. You touched them, they were on fire. All right? But as soon as an adversity came, and it happens immediately afterwards on the first day back, all right, they fall. Because the enemy knows if they stay where they're at, I'm in trouble. All right? And we need to know that. We need to stay right where God wants us to be. All right? Even if in the midst of trials, we're going through all these struggles, all right, in the midst of everything, we need to walk through that because He's refining us. And we're going to be stronger, we're going to be more mature. And guess what? We're going to come out with a smile, with joy in our hearts. All right, and that's really what it's about, Lord. It's about having that joy in the midst of all these trials. When Pastor called me, he said, you know, I was praying last night. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about, but he said, I was praying and the Lord gave me Paul on a boat shipwrecked, you know. Remember, he was bit by the snake when he came out and everything, and all the things that are going on with Paul, you know, and he knew where he was going. He knew where he was going to end up, you know. In Rome, you know, we knew what the end result was going to be. In the midst of the storm, all right, he said, the pastor was saying this, he goes, I don't know what you're preaching about, but I want you to talk about, tell the people that in the midst of the storm, God is there. All right, God is there. He's always there. All we need to do is call on Him. Cast your cares on Jesus. Because He cares for you. Amen. Amen? Amen. All right, at this time, we're going to have our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful, Lord God, for the opportunity and the privilege and the honor to give tithes and offerings to you, Lord God, for the well-being of your church, Lord God, for the upbuilding of your kingdom, so that your word will spread, Lord God. And Father, as we come close to Vacation Bible School, Lord God, that's our outreach, our biggest outreach, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that you would bless the people that are volunteering, bless the people that are working in the parking lots, Lord God, so that we can do and just raise, do the things that you have called us to do, to love on families, to love on children, Lord God, to show them there's a better way, that Jesus' love transcends everything. And Father, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So are we going to pass the baskets here? Got one person there, two. Okay.
Meanwhile.
No, here we go.
Here I am again this year. There's blank spots. I got blank on my ledger. Come on, fill it in. Help with it. Seriously, though, this is for the Wednesday that they asked us to do a little by and beyond, which there's not really a lot going on, but they asked us to love me because they had to switch the concert from the North Carolina side to the Carolina side because of all construction getting ready for Canal Fest over there. So we've been watching them on Wednesdays, but